Let's flip over to the book of Joshua, you guys, chapter 1. Just so you're ready to go. Joshua chapter 1. So last night, we talked about some of the experiences that the Lord took Joshua through in preparing him for his role as leader of the people. Is everything all right? Okay. So today, we're going to begin moving into the book of Joshua itself and taking a look at their story as they move into the promised land. We left the story last time with the people. They were camped at the border of the promised land, just like their parents had been 40 years earlier. The particular location along the border is different this time, but the situation is the same. So it must have been a deja vu type experience for the people who could remember back. They were kids when their parents were the ones there, and they were faced with this choice of either going into the land and fighting to take it, trusting in God to bring the victory, or turning back to a life of slavery in Egypt. And you'll remember their parents chose to go back to Egypt. That's what they wanted to do. Well, they weren't allowed to go back to Egypt or into the promised land. God sent them round and round in circles in the desert wilderness for the next 40 years until they all died because of their lack of faith and trust in him. And now he's led their children back to the border of the promised land, and there they're ready to go. Their parents had refused to go into the land, fearing the enemies that they would have to fight and to possess it. And the big question is, would this new generation of people fare any better? Had they learned anything from the failures of the previous generation? And that's what the book of Joshua answers for us, is that question. So in verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to you, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west.'" God gives Joshua and the people the command to get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that he's about to give them. It's go time. The crossing of the Jordan River will mark Israel's official entrance into the promised land, just like the crossing of the Red Sea had marked their official departure from Egypt some 40 years earlier when he rescued them from slavery in Egypt. And it says here, "As I promised Moses," God says. We have a promise-keeping God. And we talked about this a little bit last night too, but this is one of the huge truths that we find in the book of Joshua. In fact, if you don't remember anything else from the book of Joshua, I hope that you will remember and come away with the idea that our God keeps his promises. The Lord made a promise to the human race all the way back in the Garden of Eden that he was going to fix the mess that they had gotten themselves into. He made a promise to Abraham that all the people would be blessed through him, all of the people on earth. The Christ would come through the lineage of Abraham. The Lord promised Moses that he would lead the people of Israel out of slavery and give them a land of blessing and abundance. And that is what we see him doing. In contrast, I mean, our world is full of broken promises, isn't it? I mean, as one simple example is, think of all of the amazing promises made by advertisers for their products. And how many of those promises do any of those products really live up to? Well, products may fail us, people may fail us, family and friends may even fail us, but there's one who keeps every promise that he makes, and that's our God. Verse 4 gives a description of the boundaries of the territory that made up the promised land, which God is going to give to Israel. And Joshua and the people will end up conquering and taking possession of only a small portion of all that's described here as the territory. In fact, it will be almost 300 years later, only during the reign of Solomon, David's son, Solomon is king, that the Israelites will actually control most of the promised land, but still not actually occupy much of it. And even then, they'll lose the control of a lot of that territory following Solomon's reign, because everything starts to come unraveled. So it's kind of sad when we think about that. You know, God wanted to give them all of this, and it took them all that time to actually take possession of it, and then they only had it for a short time because of their own sin and lack of faith. Verse 5 says, "No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." The land the Israelites are preparing to go into is already occupied by other people. There's people living there. The Israelites are going to face fierce opposition from these people. I mean, these people are not going to give up without a fight. I mean, if it was your house and some other guy shows up and goes, "Hey, I want your house," you're not going to take my house. I'm going to fight you for it. And that's exactly what they're going to be faced with. But the Lord wants Joshua and the people to be mentally and spiritually ready for this fight that's waiting for them. The Lord makes two promises to Joshua and the people here in verse 5. He promises to give them victory over their enemies, and he promises to always be with them. He will never leave them or forsake them. The way the NIV Bible translates the Hebrew language here, it makes this part of the Lord's promise to Israel sound like he's basically repeating the same thing twice, using a slightly different word. But the two Hebrew words used here, which are translated as "I will never leave you," "I will never forsake you," they have a bit more difference in meaning than that. The New American Standard Bible translates this in a way that highlights that a little better for us to get onto it in English, when it says, "I will not fail you or forsake you." You see, that's different, isn't it? I'm not going to fail you, and I'm not going to forsake you. So a fuller translation of the promise that the Lord is making would be, "I will not let you down. I will not bail out on you. I will not quit on you. I will not disappoint you. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you." And that's a big promise, isn't it? It says in verse 7, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So the Lord, he tells Joshua here three times to be strong and courageous. Verse 6 and verse 7 and verse 9. And he emphasizes again and again that he will be with Joshua and the people. Do you remember what prevented the previous generation of Israelites from entering the promised land 40 years earlier? They didn't go in because they were not strong and courageous, and they had forgotten that the Lord would always be with them. That was their problem. So now the Lord, he tells them three times. See, their parents had looked at the opposition from their own point of view without the Lord, and they were overcome by fear and discouragement. He says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." The enemies were too big, too entrenched. The situation looked hopeless to them. The Lord doesn't want this new generation to have a repeat performance. He wants them to have the land. He wants them to possess it. See, the Lord gets no pleasure out of seeing his promises to his people going unclaimed. He wants them to have those promises. He doesn't get pleasure out of, I'm going to promise you this. I hope I can snooker them out of it. That's not how he works. Yes, they're going to face a fight. But if they're strong and courageous and they step out in confidence in their God, remembering that he is with them and is fighting for them, he says they will be victorious. You're going to take possession of this land. If we look at the challenges and obstacles in our own lives from our own point of view, without God, we can easily be overcome with fear and discouragement too, can't we? Our life can look very hopeless and dark when we lose sight of our great warrior, Jesus Christ, who fights for us. The Lord wants to give you the promised land. He wants you to have it. He doesn't get any pleasure from seeing his promises to you going unclaimed. Yes, you're going to face a fight, but if you're strong and courageous and step out in confidence in your God, remembering that he's with you and he's fighting for you, you'll be victorious. You'll take hold of those things that he's promised to you. Well, in addition to the promise to be with them and the encouragement to be strong and courageous, the Lord says another very important thing to Joshua and the people in verse 7 and 8. He tells them to be careful to obey all of his law. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Speak it to yourselves and speak it to one another. Meditate on it day and night. The word translated meditate, it literally means mutter. And it brings a funny picture to our minds, doesn't it? Going around muttering the word of God under our breath. But this is the idea. Think about it. Chew on it. Roll it around in our mind. Ponder it. Say it to ourselves day and night continually. Mutter it to yourself. Muttering the word of God. Speaking it continually to yourself. And the result, he says, is then you will be prosperous and successful. The key to success for Joshua and the Israelites will be their keeping the word of God. Obeying the Lord. God doesn't give Joshua instructions in military matters, strategies, maneuvers, insights about how to beat the enemy. He doesn't give him that stuff. He gives him instead counsel about the importance of obeying the Lord and trusting him. The Lord will be his strength in battle and bring success if he remains faithful to the Lord and obeys him, not if he's really good at fighting against the enemy, if he knows how to get around the enemy and outsmart him. It's like, no, what's important is that you trust and obey me. That's what's important, Joshua. That's what's going to bring success, not your skill as a warrior. I'm your warrior. I'm going to beat the enemy for you, but you have to trust me. You have to obey me. The same is true for us, isn't it? The things that really beat us up are things that we can't control anyway. We talked a little bit about that last night too. They're beyond our ability to overcome. A sickness, a financial disaster, our marriage blown up, our child going sideways on us. I mean, these are things that are out of our control. We can't just change it with our own willpower. To be successful against these things, we need to trust the Lord. And the key to keeping our heads screwed on straight is obeying him. James 1:22, you remember, James wrote, "Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." Verse 10, he says, "So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you'll cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. So they're told to pack up their gear. It's go time in 3 days. The day that they have been dreaming about their whole lives is almost here. They have been listening to the stories from the old folk for 40 years about how incredible the promised land is, the fertile fields, the orchards, the vineyards, the size of the fruit that the explorers brought back, the rivers, the streams, the cities. They've been living in this barren wasteland of the desert their whole lives, waiting for the day when they would get the opportunity to go into this amazing land. And that day is finally here. Verse 12, but to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you the rest by giving you this land. The Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan, but all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Okay, the quick little background story about what he's talking about here is as the Israelites were marching north around Edom and Moab toward the promised land to the place where they would make their entry into the promised land, Sion and Og marched down against them and attacked them, which proved disastrous for Sion and Og because Israel completely wiped them out and took all of their land. This is talked about in Numbers chapter 21. Well, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had very large flocks and herds, and they noticed that this land of Sion and Og was great grazing land. So they asked Moses at the time if it could be their land allotment instead of land on the other side of the Jordan River on the west side with the other tribes. And Moses agreed to let them have that land as their inheritance under the condition that they would have all of their fighting men still assist the other tribes in taking possession of the land on the west side of the Jordan River. And this is what Joshua was talking about here. He goes, now, remember, you guys, you agreed to this. You have to come with us, cross over, and help us fight. So he says, you're to help us. It was not okay for these tribes to obtain their land, get their stuff, and just go on their way. They're part of a larger group, the Israelites as a whole. And it was the whole group who had defeated Sion and Og. It wasn't just those three tribes, but it was the whole group that had defeated Sion and Og. It was only right that they help their brothers and sisters fight the enemies on the west side of the Jordan too and help them win the land for their tribes. They need to all do this thing together in order for them to all be successful. And if everyone looks out for their own self, they're going to ultimately fail. They won't be strong enough unless they do it together. What a great lesson for us, huh? Because we need to do this thing called life together in order for us to all succeed too. We need each other to overcome the enemies that we face, to win the battles that we go through in this life. The Lord's intent for his people is that we not go through this life alone. He created the church for us, so that we may, quote, in Ephesians 4:13, all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He wants all of us to arrive in the promised land together and to experience the promised land together, even in this life. And that's what the church is to accomplish and to achieve here for us. Verse 16 says, then they answered Joshua, and these are the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They answer Joshua when he says, now remember what you guys agreed to do, and I expect you to do this. And they answer him, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. So they give a pledge of total support to Joshua, and what a tremendous encouragement that must have been for him to hear this pledge of loyalty and support. I mean, few things can inspire us more than to hear, we're completely with you in this thing. We are with you. We're going to do it with you. We have your back. And that's what they say. Yeah, we're doing it. We made that promise and we're keeping it. We're fighting with you. So, in closing, Joshua and the people, they were faced with a choice. They could remain in the desert where they have been living for the last 40 years, or they could break the cycle, rise to the challenge, trust their God, and follow him into this new land, the land that he had promised to give them. On the surface, the choice may have appeared to be a simple one, but it wasn't that simple. If you were in their shoes, it takes strength and courage to leave what you have always known, doesn't it? Even if the thing that you've always known is a life of wandering in the desert. I mean, it's what you know. It's what you're secure in. And what's out there is the unknown, and the unknown is always scary. Change is always uncomfortable. We like security. And we often settle for less than the best because it's secure, because it feels safe. But we sell ourselves short, don't we, when we do that? It takes strength and courage to go into a new unknown place, especially when you know the enemy is waiting for you there. It takes strength and courage to accept the call to change the world for yourself and those that you know and love. It takes strength and courage to obey your God and serve him faithfully. It takes strength and courage to make the commitment and then determine to stick with it day after day, day after day, day after day. It takes strength and courage to trust the Lord with your life. Well, they chose to become warriors rather than remain wanderers, and their lives would be forever different because of that choice they made. We face a similar choice in our life. Either remain in the desert or fight. The enemies we face are not physical as theirs were. Our objective is not a physical place in the Middle East called Canaan. But Jesus Christ, the living God, is calling you and me to leave the desert and move into the life that he's prepared for us. And that desert is a life without him. The life that we live outside of Christ, the life that we live before we come into relationship with him, the life that everyone else lives, the life that we were so thirsty and hungry in. When we came to Christ, that's when he filled us, right? A life of abundance, a life of blessing,
a life of promise.
The deepest cry of our heart is to be touched by eternity, to have the meaningless toil of life transformed into a meaningful journey, to have our life given significance as we pursue the destiny that we were created for. The purpose of every human being is to know, to worship, to love, to serve, and to enjoy God forever. And in Christ, we have the opportunity for all of that. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your promises to us, that you keep every single one of them, that you're fulfilling your promises in us in this very moment even. You've given us a life of abundance and meaning and purpose and promise and hope, Lord, and we thank you for that. And I pray that you would remind us of those things. And even as we face the enemies in our life now, the opposition, the challenges, the difficulties, that we would remember your promises to us, that you will always be with us. You've told us, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Be strong and courageous in the Lord. Make that so in us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.